This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. Certain kinds of birds and fish at times move in huge groups as if they are all part of one organism with one brain. Herring do this, shad do it, in starlings we call it a murmuration, and scientists are trying to figure out exactly how they do this. How does it work? Paige Flager is here now. She's been looking into this. Hey, Paige.
Hey, Mike.
And Paige, you are a total dork about these things.
Yeah, I've been nerding out pretty hard. I've been watching videos of starling murmurations, which is a kind of small brown bird or schools of fish, but I really wanted to see it for myself in person, and I thought I'd go to some beautiful field, but instead I ended up at Atlantic County's landfill in New Jersey to meet a guy named Bert Hickson.
Hi, Bert. I'm Paige.
Hi, Paige. Nice to meet you.
Now, he works there as the landfill's resident wildlife biologist.
Why does the landfill have a resident biologist?
The landfill is really close to the airport, and so basically his job is to herd these groups of birds away from airspace to prevent them from flying into planes, kind of like that flock of geese did to Captain Sully's airplane where he had to land in the Hudson River. So anyways, I hopped in Hickson's white pickup truck.
Yes.
And he starts driving us up the side of the landfill, which almost looks like a giant sand dune. The windows are open and the wind is wafting the smell of garbage into the truck. On the console in between us is a pair of fancy birding binoculars and what looks like two small guns.
Don't be alarmed. These aren't pistols. They're pyrotechnics launchers.
The landfill is surrounded by tall pine trees in all directions, and off in the distance is the Atlantic City skyline. Hickson points down at a flock of more than 200 glossy brown birds.
Okay, so this is what we have. This is what we call the active area. You can see there's a smattering of starlings there, and what we're doing is we're covering last night's garbage.
Hickson fires the pistol out of the window, and a murmuration starts to happen.
There they go. Wow.
As soon as the birds reach the same place in the sky, they assume this formation, perfectly spaced out. They begin this dance, a cloud of birds moving in perfect synchronicity, soaring up and swooping down, changing direction together seamlessly. The whole thing is silent. The birds don't chirp at all. And it's so beautiful that I almost forget that we're watching from on top of a giant mountain of garbage. So why do these birds do this? Turns out it's about shared risk and shared benefit.
So if there's one predator coming in and there are a thousand of you starlings and it's a good predator, it is going to get one guaranteed. You have one chance in a thousand of being taken instead of being off on your own and the predator comes after you and it's just you.
That's Kevin McGowan, a biologist with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. McGowan says it's not that these animals are moving as though they have one mind, but really that they have the same exact thought. Avoid the predator by hiding behind your buddies. All of the animals that exhibit this behavior, including different kinds of birds or fish, have a few things in common. They look the same.
You don't want to stand out in a crowd because standing out gets you noticed and getting noticed gets you eaten.
And?
They're tasty, tender, and delicious, I suppose. There are things that want to eat them, and they're usually smallish and vulnerable.
One of the most striking things about these group behaviors, McGowan says, is that there's no leader. No one bird or one fish is telling the others which way to go. I called up Andrea Cavagna, a physicist at the University of Rome.
Hello?
Cavagna studies collective behavior, and he's a leading scientist on how these animals move the way that they do. He told me each individual bird doesn't need to communicate with the whole flock. Instead, they just need to imitate their 7 to 10 closest neighbors. When they do that, the flock looks like it's moving as one, no matter how many birds are part of the system. Cavagna says it's kind of like a giant game of telephone, except the birds are passing a movement instead of a phrase.
If there is a flock of 50 birds and they play the telephone game, then the message travels for 50 birds. If the flock is done with 10,000 birds, then they play the telephone game again and the message travels 10,000 people. So the scale over which they are globally correlated is always as large as the entire system. And this is why they give us this striking appearance of behaving like one.
He thinks that these perfectly synchronized animal group behaviors could be harnessed for new technological innovations. He says that right now, most groups of machines, like drones, move in a follow-the-leader-like fashion. If the leader gets destroyed, the group stops functioning. But
on the other hand, collective behavior in biology is most of the time decentralized, it's distributed behavior. So it's a bottom-up kind of control, and which is much more robust, this kind of control. And so it would be very useful to be able to copy that at the technological level.
Think schools of unmanned submarines that search for underwater mines, or a flock of microscopic robots inside of our bodies that administer medicine. If we can teach those man-made machines to move like synchronized birds, they too could be less vulnerable to predators. For The Pulse, I'm Paige Flager.